Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Chav Hey. We are in Chav Dal Amud Beis. We are a little bit less than halfway down, a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zichron Nishmas Lipa Gabriela Bashmuel. We started yesterday the third parak of the Masechta. The third parak it takes us to back to the topic of Lishma. As I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't really take us back to the topic of Lishma. The first two parakim, the Fanenechtam, the topic that's been covered for almost the first 3 weeks of the Masechta. So that topic is predicated on Lishma, but the Mishnah never actually spoke out Lishma, the Lishma requirement. This Mishnah actually speaks out the Lishma requirement. The Mishnah over here gives four scenarios in which it's a failure of Lishma. Each one is a bigger failure than the next one. So the way that Mishnayos generally work is that the Mishnah rolls out the cases where it's a Chiddush, then it's a bigger Chiddush, then it's an even bigger Chiddush. The way the Mishnah rolled out the cases yesterday, it was the biggest Chiddush, and then the smaller Chiddush, You can argue each one is a greater failure of Lishma, which means that each case then subsequently becomes a bigger Chiddush in terms of, even though it's a smaller failure of Lishma, but nevertheless it's still not going to work. I take it back. Each one is a bigger chiddush than the next one. That point was not well thought out. Anyway, the Mishnah the Mishnah presents a number of examples, four examples in total. So just quickly to review the cases in the Mishnah. Case number one in the Mishnah is that you had Sofrim who were learning how to write a get. So they had absolutely not only nobody in mind, they didn't even have an intention to write a get, meaning a get as a safer Croesus. This was just simply all for purpose of education. We're practicing. That's case number one. And then after the practice get, turns out that that's my name, that's my wife's name. Hey, look at that. Okay, so the guy takes it and uses it. It's not good. The Mishnah describes that as being a puzzle. Later, we're gonna focus on the fact that the Mishnah calls a get puzzle. It's a significant terminology. We'll come back to that. Yes, and McCain, the Mishnah then gives another example where he writes it to give a get as a wife. So in other words, it was written as a get, as a safer Croesus. And then he decides, I'm not going to divorce my wife. And somebody else picks it up and somebody else takes it and says, you know what, that's my name, that's my wife's name, I'll use it. So that's no good as well. Even though the get was written as a safer Croesus, but it did not have him in mind, and nor did it have his wife in mind as well. The third case in the Mishnah is even a smaller failure in the Lishma requirement, and that is that when I wrote the get, I had two wives, and I wanted to divorce one of the two wives. I didn't know which one I wanted to divorce. Oh no! I even knew. Right, in the third case, I knew which one I wanted to divorce, the older one. And then afterwards, I took the get. I wrote the get. I had the older one in mind. I had the sofer, the older one in mind. I told the sofer that I had the older one in mind. And then afterwards, I changed my mind. So the Mishnah says that's no good. Even though it is a safer Croesus, that the husband hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is the wife. But nevertheless, that's no good as well. Because again, it's a failure in Lishma. Failure in Lishma, as we pointed out at the end of yesterday's Gemara, is that in order for the Lishma to work, it has to have the intent of the husband in mind and the intent of the specific wife in mind as well. And finally, the last case in the Mishnah, which is predicated on the issue of Breira, is where I have two wives. I got to get rid of one of them. I can be in this relationship of two wives. It's just too much. But I don't know which one I'm ready to part with. So I told the sofer, look, write the get. Write it for me. Write it for one of my wives. And look, they have the same name anyway. So it's going to be the same get anyway. And I'll make a determination later on which one's going to be. And then huvra hadavar lemafreya. And then can't we make the argument that retroactively, going back to the time of the writing of the get, that's the one that I wanted all along. It's just it took me a while to clear my thoughts and to get my head wrapped around this idea. So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says it doesn't work. Obviously, the Mishnah is not subscribing to the principle of Breira. Adkan. That was a refresher of what we saw together in the Mishnah. And then yesterday, what we saw in the Gemara, the Pesukim. The Gemara outlined the Pesukim in terms of how we know all these halachas regarding Lishma.
Why does Breira have to come in here? It's not Lishma. Because he doesn't know which
one. It is Lishma.
He's
going to give it to one of them.
Right, but that's not Lishma.
Well, what's going to happen? No, once you subscribe to Breira, that means then that the one that he chooses is the one that was chosen.
I understand that, but so, I don't think he's going to come to Breira. I think it's
Okay, I hear your argument, but I'm just I'm presenting the Mishnah what probably is the classic explanation. Okay, what happened in the Mishnah? The Gemara is going to spend just a couple of lines on a tangent. And that is the following. In our Mishnah, we have a scenario in which you basically have a document, otherwise known as a get, being written for a woman, even though there's another woman with the exact same name. And the Mishnah's point is, the Mishnah was making a point regarding Lishma. And the Mishnah says it's a failure in Lishma. The Gemara, however, is going to take this moment. It's just going to be a short opportunity for the Gemara. Is going to take the moment to say, hey, but you know what? If he gave it to the one he intended to give it to, it would work. Even though there's somebody out there in the world with the exact same name.
So why not? It's Lishma.
So the Gemara, right. So Kasu Garish is a Gedolo. So the Gemara's point over here is we're right on Chavdal and Beis. We're more than halfway down in the Amud. We're at the two dots. Ketana hu delo matzim Megarish Bey. Hagedolo matzim Megarish Bey. Okay, so what's clear, it's obvious, is that he cannot divorce the younger one because he didn't write it for the younger one, but he can divorce the older one because he wrote it for her. Rava Amar Zosameris. Amar Rava Zosameris. So Rava says, what could be deduced from here? So we're going to take a halacha as it relates to Gittin. Now, obviously, Gittin is a document, and it's what we would call contract law, and he would like to apply to other forms of contract law, monetary. Now, Gittin obviously is not monetary law. We made this point time and again. But nevertheless, in terms of the basic principles of how contract law works, so Rava says, I think they're comparable in the following sense. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon hadarm b'ir achas. So let's say you have two Yosef ben Shimons living in the same town. Motzin shtarchov al acherim. So what they can do is that they can produce a document against somebody else. Okay, now, in order to appreciate this Gemara and this comparison, let's think for a moment in terms of, we're talking obviously about a borrower and a lender, and we're comparing it to a husband and wife in terms of a contract. So, it's tricky, but who's in the comparison, the husband is the borrower, or the husband compared to the lender? And the wife is compared to the borrower, wife is compared to the lender. Now, don't think about it too hard. I mean, the Gemara is assuming that, Gemara is assuming only one way to view it. But the way the Gemara is going to view it is as follows. Basically, it's the note holder. Whoever is the holder of the note. Now, in the case of the get, who's the note holder? Now, the husband has to write and the husband has to give it. But ultimately, when all said and done, the wife is the note holder. She's the one that's holding on to the get. And the get represents her and getting a divorce from him. But she's a note holder. In the case of a borrower and lender, who's the note holder? The note holder is the lender. The lender is the one who's holding the note. Now, granted that his purposes of holding the note are different than the woman, but I know the comparison is funny, but in terms of the comparison, we're comparing the woman to the lender. Because the woman is a note holder, and the lender is a note holder. So the Gemara says, now with that comparison in mind, so let's consider. You have a woman. She's got another woman out there with the same name. And yet, when she produces a note, she's holding the note, and she's producing the note, it's clear and it's clear evidence that she got a divorce from him. Even though there's somebody else in the world who you don't even have to look that far. It was her co-wife who also had the exact same name. Can't we make the argument that this isn't her note, but this is her co-wife's note? She just kind of picked it up. She's using it now as proof. It's fictitious. It's not hers. So obviously the Mishnah is not bothered by that at all. Now, the Mishnah was talking about Lishma. The Mishnah wasn't focused on this. But the Gemara says, but you can look at it from the standpoint of the successful divorce, meaning the one who was designed to be divorced, when she's holding the note, it is good proof that she was in fact divorced. So the Gemara says, and to that what I'll say is, now if we go to borrower and lender, so now let's imagine the lender has other lenders in the community or other people in the community with the same name. Can the borrower say to the note holder, hey, wait one second. You're not the one I owe the money to. I owe the money to so-and-so. The note that you're showing me right now, that note, it has your name on it, but it also has his name. Our neighbor has the same exact name. He's a real note holder, not you. Can't I make that argument? So from the Mishnah, the Gemara is trying to demonstrate, no, you can't make that argument. The one holding the note is in fact the identifies that is in fact the identity of that person.
Why
Right. The issues of chazaka seem to be a a strong issue. The Gemara says, let's continue now. So they can produce their shtar chov against other people, even though the malva has another person in the community with the same exact name. So the Abaye says, well, let's consider. Because there are other cases in the Mishnah as well. For example, other cases in the Mishnah where a guy writes a get against his wife, and then he decides he's not going to use it. That's the second case in the Mishnah. And then what does he do? A neighbor comes over and says, hey, do me a favor. Obviously, I know too much. I know that you wanted to get a divorce from somebody else. Do me a favor. Can I take your get, and can I use it for my wife? So the Mishnah says, no, you can't, because it's a failure of Lishma. So, Sheni hu delo matzah megarish beha, Rishon matzah megarish beha. But again, the starting point of the discussion is obviously the first guy can use it to divorce his wife, even though there's another couple in the community with the exact same name. V'ha arinan v'lo acher yachol lahotzi aleim shtar chov. The Gemara says, yeah, but in Baba Basra, we have the following dilemma. Not dilemma, but rather machlokas. And there is an opinion over there in the Gemara and Baba Basra that, let's say, we're not talking now from the perspective of the note holder, but we're talking from the perspective of the borrower. Let's say two borrowers have the same name. And so the note holder goes after a guy and he says, you owe me money. And the guy says, wait one second, slow down. I appreciate the fact, I respect the fact that you're holding a note. And you're holding it a note and it has my name identified as being the borrower. But you know, there are other people in the town that have the same exact name. And you know who I'm talking about. And so why are you going after me? Why don't you go after him? Oh, so the Gemara Baba Basra says that's where it gets tricky. That's now the note holder. He's holding the note. And like we discussed just a moment ago, Chazaka could be a very compelling argument in terms of why the note holder is in fact who he is. But in terms of who he's going after, there's no Chazaka over there. He's just going after a guy. And maybe that guy isn't really the guy if there's another person in the town with the same exact name. So the Mishnah in Baba Basra says, "V'lo acher yacholotzi aleim shtar chov." You can't go after them if they have the same name. Now, in our Mishnah, again, the husband in the comparison is the borrower because he's not the note holder. Again, I know he wrote the note, but he's not the note holder. The note holder is a lender. So the borrower can go ahead and use it to divorce his wife, even though there are other people in town with the exact same name. So, if you're comparing the cases in Gittin to the case in Baba Basra, so over here, in Gittin it works, in Baba Basra it does not work. So the Gemara says, Elamai Yisrach Lamemar, Be'ed Masirah, Revelazihi, Achanami, Be'ed Masirah, Revelazihi. So the Gemara says, okay, this whole problem can be avoided if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe Elazar. Why? Because Rebbe Elazar says that the Eidei Chasima are not the... It's not the Koach HaShtar. The Koach HaShtar is the Eid HaMesira. What does that mean? That they're going to be witnesses. They're going to be seeing the transfer of the document from A to B. From A to B, they, since are the ones witnessing and validating the efficacy of the document, therefore they know exactly who it is. Even though other people are sharing the same name, but because it's the Eid HaMesira who are the ones who are giving the effectiveness to the document, so therefore it's going to be easy for them to recognize who is the lender and who is the borrower, because they're the ones who infuse the document with its koach. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Amar Rav. We went over the Mishnah in the beginning of today's shiur. There are four cases in the Mishnah. All of them are a failure of Lishma. Actually, three of them are a failure of Lishma. The fourth one's an issue of Breira. But anyway, but in any event, they're not good gittin. So when we say something is not a good get, does that mean definitively it's not a good get? And we go on as if she wasn't divorced? So that would be the simple way to say it. What we're going to learn over the course of the next, almost the first half of today's daf is going to be that, no, the get actually has some sort of legitimacy to it. Now, I say some sort of legitimacy. I don't mean she's divorced. She's not. It's a failure of Lishma, but what we do mean, however, is that to a certain degree, she has I'm going to use the term that the Gemara is going to use later on, a fragrance of a divorce. Right? It's even though she's not divorced, but it smelled a little bit like a divorce. What does all this mean? You'll see exactly what I mean as we start with the Gemara. We're on Chavdal Amud Beis. We're about six lines from the bottom. The Amud Amar Rav Kulam Posim BeKahuna Chutz Min Arishon. So Shmuel's, I'm sorry, Rav's of the opinion that she will now be Pasul LeKahuna, meaning that she got a divorce. Divorce is not good. The divorce was not written Lishma. However, nevertheless, the get had a reach a get, had some sort of tinge, it had some sort of taint of a get. She is now a divorcee vis-a-vis, she cannot marry a Kohen. In the event, let's say, that after receiving this failed get, the husband dies, she's now an almana, she's a widow, she can turn around and marry a Kohen? No, she cannot, because she got some form of a get. It wasn't good, but she got some form of a get, therefore. The only thing Rav says I'm excluding from this discussion is the first case. Because in the first case, it's nothing. It's literally nothing. Meaning, what was it? It was students in the academy learning how to write a get. So it's really, it doesn't even have a reach a get. Shmuel Amar Afarishan Ami Posel. Shmuel says, no, even the first case in the Mishnah has a reach a get. Vazda Shmuel Atame, Dama Shmuel, Kamakum Shashanu Chachamim Get Posel. Posel? Uposel. So the Shmuel's of the opinion that when you're reading Mishnayos and you learn Mishnah, and every time you see the word pasul used in the Mishnah didn't have to use the word pasul. Pasul means that the get itself is no good. However, posel. At the same time, the recipient of such a get, even though she's not divorced, she will be disqualified from kahuna. Okay, certainly this cannot operate on a deraisa level. This operates on a derabbanan level. But the Chachamim felt that since we had something that resembled a get, almost like a mar sign, although I don't really think that's the appropriate terminology. But since she got something that looked like a get, so therefore, as a mala, as a stringency imposed regarding grusha and kohen, so she can't marry a kohen. So chalitza psula uposlasa mina achen. And also, this is Yavama's point, and that is whenever you see the word chalitza psula, it means that the chalitza was not good, but she has the status of being a chalutza, even though the chalitza that was done was not a good chalitza. Okay, so that's the another area where you have the same basic idea. Ben Marava Amri Mishmei Rav Elazar Small Velayla Psulos Uposlos. If the chalitza was done with the left shoe as opposed to the right shoe, if it was done at night as opposed to the day, psulos, it will be disqualified, meaning the chalitza is not good, but poslos. But at the same time, she will also have the status of being a chalutza. Katan ve'anpalya, if let's say it was done with either by a minor, or it was done instead of with a shoe, it was done with a kind of like a sock, right? Right, Rashi says kalzon. Right, how do you
calzone is underwear.
Underwear? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So but anyway, it's like a sock. So psulos vein posos. So there, that is so far removed from chalitza. Meaning a minor doing chalitza, no. And if it's not a shoe, and it's rather a sock, no. Meaning no. Meaning it's nothing. It's not a chalitza. Doesn't even have a reach a chalitza. Okay. That is so far. Let's summarize in our Mishnah. There are four cases in the Mishnah. Every case in the Mishnah, the get is no good. First three cases is because it's a failure of lishma. In the fourth case, we have an issue of breira, but there are all four of them are no good. According to Rav, in three of the four cases, meaning in case 2, 3, and 4, if a get was issued, even though the get's no good, she will not be able to marry a kohen. She has the shame grusha vis-a-vis the prohibition of marrying a kohen. And according to Shmuel, every case in the Mishnah, cases 1 through 4, she has a shame grusha. We are now in the Gemara Chafei Amud Aleph, Ziri Amar Kulan and Poslin Chutz Mina Acharon. So Ziri goes the other direction. They're all getting psulim, and getting psulim meaning nothing. Not a get, not even a reach a get. It is nothing except for the last case. V'chein amar Rav Asi, kulan ein poslin chutz min ha'acharon. So the last one is going to have a reacha get, but the case 1, 2, 3 in the Mishnah are not going to have a reacha get. And finally, Rav Yochanan amar, it makes sense, by the way, there are four cases in the Mishnah, so how many opinions are there in the Gemara? So this is our fourth opinion. Rav Yochanan amar af acharon nami eino posel. Rav Yochanan says none of them are going to have a reacha get. Not 1, 2, 3, not even 4. Now consider, in case number 4, what happened? He wrote the get. He had his wife in mind. There were two of them, but they had the same name. He said to the sofer, I'm going to divorce one of the two. I just haven't figured it out yet. Write the get. I'll figure it out. So in such a case, the get's not good, says the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan says it's really not good, meaning it doesn't even have a reacha get. The Azdar, Rav Yochanan Latame. Now this is Rav Yochanan being consistent. Da'am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan. Ha'achin shechalku l'kuch hosein ha'machzion zel ha'zeb yobo. Rav Yochanan makes the following comment as it relates to the halachas of Yovel. We know that in the Yovel year, we don't observe the Yovel year nowadays. But back in the day when they observed the Yovel year, so we know that all ancestral properties go back to the original owner. That's the halacha regarding Yovel. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, it's an interesting opinion, that when you have an estate and the brothers divide the estate, their division of the estate is not considered an ancestral division, but rather what is considered is lekuchos. They're like bartering with one another. It's a transaction, meaning there is this large estate, and let's say there are 5 brothers, so each one says, I want that. The other one says, no, I want that. And they start swapping with one another, exchanging with one another. Rav Yochanan says the way to view the division of the estate is lekuchos. They are rather than just Yerusha, they're swapping it out. So, umachzirin zela zebiyovo. And what happens is that when the Yovel year comes around, so they have to put it back into the pot and redistribute. Now, in terms of the practicality of it, it's kind of hard to imagine. But in terms of the theory behind it, in terms of the svari behind it, let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi writes, "Lekuchos ein de ein breira." Rashi says that this is predicated on the fact that Rav Yochanan is a hardline subscriber to the idea that there is no breira whatsoever. We do not look at retroactive. Rav Yochanan's viewpoint is that when the brothers are making their transaction, we do not say that the part that they end up with is the part that was rightfully theirs all the way from the beginning. Meaning, if we were subscribers to Breira, here's what we would have said. 5 brothers, an estate, it's divided. The part that I got is the part that I was always destined to get. That's if you subscribe to Breira. If that's true, you are the ancestral owner of this property. And therefore, there's nothing to return because it's fundamentally yours. Rav Yochanan says, no, you must return it in the Yovel year. Return it to what? To the original estate. And then redivide it. Now, exactly how that redivision works, that is not perfectly clear. Take a look at the end of Rashi. I stopped in Rashi three words before the end. Rashi writes at the end, V'hadr shakle kid de mi'ikara. Rashi says, and then after what happens is, it's then redistributed as it originally was. That last word in Rashi, right, you could read it as, it's really two different, totally different ways you could read that Rashi. You could read it as, you're going to divide it the way it was originally divided, or you're going to divide it the way we used to, we once divided it once before, meaning, just like we divided it once, we're going to divide it again. But in terms of how it's going to be divided, It could be a new division. Either way, point is that according to Rav Yochanan, he does not subscribe to Breira at all. Now the Gemara is saying that's Rav Yochanan our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan Mishnah said the man wrote a get for one of his wives. He didn't decide which one it was, and then afterwards he decides. Rav Yochanan says, I do not subscribe to Breira at all, meaning that according to Rav Yochanan in our Mishnah, it's not a get at all, because when he decided at the time that we can't take that decision, bring it back to the point of writing, it therefore is not a get bichlal. Therefore, it doesn't even have a reacha get. Okay, utzricha. And the Gemara points out that it is necessary. Why? When it comes to, and Phil, this was your point, right? That when it comes to the case of get, so it could be that maybe Rav Yochanan is not such a hardliner in terms of Brera, but maybe in the world of Gittin, it's a failure of Lishma. Meaning maybe he, in theory, subscribes to Brera, but still it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Lishma, because at the time of writing, he didn't have which wife specifically in mind. But when it comes to Yovel, you could have made the argument that transactions, that sales return in Yovel, but not Yerusha, not Matana. And if I only had the halacha of Rav Yochanan as it relates to Yovel, so I would have said there we're going to be Machmir. Or there, we're going to go back to the original, to the point that it was originally, meaning one estate. But over here, maybe not. Maybe the get would be a good get. So Tzricha, so the Gemara says, therefore, it is in fact required that Rav Yochanan makes his point, both in the case of Gittin and in the case of the Lekuchos, that Rav Yochanan simply does not subscribe to Brera at all. Okay, remember the story of Yiftach in Navi? Really sad story. So right after a successful campaign, so he goes back to his home. He wants to thank Hashem. He wants to offer carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu. First thing that comes out of my house is going to be offered as a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the first thing that comes out of his house is his daughter. Okay, a tragic ending. So so over here it's not as tragic, but the person is making a decision based on the same basic idea that I don't know which one I'm married to two wives. I don't know which one I want to divorce. You know what? I'm not going to decide. So I'll let fate decide. The first one that comes out of the house, that's the one that's going to be divorced. What would be the halacha? Amar leit nisua. Yes, it becomes amar lav lar kasav leitzer sheirza agarish pasul agarish bo ama ein breira. So that was the question that was asked. The answer seems to be, I don't even understand what you're asking. Didn't you learn a Mishnah? Don't you know the first Mishnah of the third parak of Gittin, where the Mishnah actually gives a scenario which is almost identical? It's not identical, but it's almost identical. In the case of the Mishnah, I didn't decide yet, but I'll make the decision later. And you know what? I'll write the get now based on the decision I'll make in the future. The Mishnah says no good. Clearly, the Mishnah says we don't subscribe to Brera. Isn't it the same thing over here? Eitzvei, the Gemara challenges based on a Mishnah in Psachim. Okay, we did this Mishnah in Psachim. We did it again in Adarim. We're doing it now again in Gittin. So since the beginning of Shas, this is the third time we're seeing this. So Dad's trying to motivate the kids. The kids are dragging their feet. They're a little bit slow. They're going to Yerushalayim to Shech Karban Pesach. And so Dad says to the kids, I'll tell you what. Kids, let's go. First one makes it to Yerushalayim, so he's going to be the one who's zocher for the Karban Pesach, and everyone's going to have to get from that kid. So, Kevin Shenichnas Rishon Rosh Averuba Zacha Bechalko Mezake Esachav Imo. So the first one that gets there, he's going to be the winner and the recipient of the Karban Pesach, and everyone else is going to get from him. That is a Mishnah in Pesachim. So what does that show you? We do subscribe to Brera. At the time when he made the offer, he didn't know which kid was going to make it first, and then the kid that makes it first, he's the one who's going to win, and he gets it, even though at the time of the commitment, he didn't know which one was going to win first. Amar Le Oshia Bari, Ma Inyam Pesachim Etzel Gittin. What kind of comparison are we talking about? Ha'id Marlam, Rav Yochanan Kedela Zarzam Memitzvos. Rav Yochanan's comment over there was, Dad didn't really mean that the winner is actually going to get the Karban Pesach. That's not what Dad meant. Dad meant, kids, let's move a little quicker. In other words, motivation. Let's go. Everyone hustle. Look at the end of the Braisa. The winner gets it, and the others get it with him. Now, Karban Pesach, right? We all know how it works. Minui, it needs registration. Everyone needs to register over the Karban Pesach. So, really, Dad registered all the kids over the Karban Pesach. And it's now just a question of getting the kids to move a little faster to Yerushalayim. But he didn't really mean the winner is going to get it and everyone else is going to, you know, have to take his piece. Everyone, of course, was registered. Ela'i amartalo amninu lacha shchita mi kamis mane. And we also know that after you shecht the Karban Pesach, registration is closed. You cannot register over Karban Pesach after we shecht it. You know that you can register and withdraw registration up to the point of Shechita. Once you shecht the Karban Pesach, that's it, it's done. So, the Rav Yochanan's comment over there by Pesachim is, only thing Dad was doing was just getting the kids motivated. But of course they were all registered over the Karban Pesach. You can't sit there at the Seder night with the Karban Pesach and Dad say, okay, you're registered. The rest of you, you're going to have to get a piece from him. It doesn't work that way. So Tanya Ameach, the Gemara says, we have a Braisa, Maish of a Kidmu, Banos Labanim, Venimtu Banos Zerizos, Ubanim Shefelim. One time the girls outran the boys. The girls were Zrizin, and the boys were lackadaisical. Anyway, point being that Zrizus is the key word over there. All this was just done for purposes of motivation. So basically, to which the Gemara says, leave the case of Pesachim out of this discussion. It is not germane to our discussion. Am Rabbi Kabai Minei Tola Bedas Chem VeKapashalei Tola Bedas Asma VeHadamosiv Lei Tola Bedas Acherim. Now, follow along the following thought process of Abaye. Meaning, what happened? So, we started off the question with, I'm going to divorce a wife. I got two of them. I don't know which one it is. You know what? The first one that comes out the door. Okay. This is obviously going to be based on the principle of Brera. However, let's consider that case over there is talking about where who's going to be the determinant? The one who walks out. I don't have a say in the matter. It's the one who walks out will be the determinant. Then we asked a question from our Mishnah. The Mishnah is, I'm going to divorce, I haven't decided yet, but I will decide. Who is the determinant of that matter? He, the husband himself. Then we went to the case of Pesachim. Who's the determinant over there in the case of Pesachim? The kids. Meaning not the one who made the stipulation, but the kids, meaning somebody else. So, don't you think, says Abaye, that there's going to be a difference between you yourself being the determinant of the decision versus an outsider being the determinant of the decision? And why would there be a difference between the two? So I'll let Rashi do the talking over here. Rashi divra maschal amar rabbi kabai minei yidmu matma abai b'rav Yehuda v'rav Oshia kabai minei. Le'ezer shetetze b'pesach tchila detala amasa b'das acherim. So Rashi just simply takes us through the string of cases. Case one is the case where the first wife that comes out of the house. It's tola b'das acherim. V'kapashu le'ezer she'etze dahina tola b'das atzma. Case two, our Mishnah. But that's you. That's Tola B'das Atzma. That's you making the decision. Dilma Tola B'das Atzma Leislan Breira. Now, Rashi here explains beautifully. Why would there be a difference between Tola B'das Atzma versus Tola B'das Achirim? In the case of Tola B'das Atzma, there's no Breira. Why? Demida Asne Bereisha. Because think about it. When you first said, I have not decided yet which one I'm going to divorce. So now, Gila Bedato Shaya Posecha Shtei Si'ifim. At that point in time, do you know why he hasn't decided? It's very simple. Because he doesn't know. He's literally sitting there between struggling to make a decision of which one it's going to be. At that point, he literally doesn't know. In other words, if we can go into his mind, it's impossible. But if we can go into his mind, if we can, you know, somehow, you know, find a way through all the clutter, what we'll see, as clearly as we can, is that right now the two choices actually exist in his mind. And there, it's a struggle to say Breira. Because there, what is Breira saying? What's the argument of Breira? Right, even though the decision was made later, but if we go back retroactively, that's the one he wanted. Over here, where he's the one who's going to be the determinant in the future, you can't go back and say, oh, that's the one he really wanted. No, because at the time, he didn't know. And if he knew, he would have said, but if it's Tola B'das Acherim, like the case of the first one that comes out of the house, or like the case of the Pesach, first one makes it to Yerushalayim. Gamar bedaite miikara leezo shetetse. There, basically, his decision was made. The decision is whichever one comes out first. I happen not to be privy to that because there's this thing called the time continuum. And right now I exist now in time, and that's going to happen later. But I'm determined right now. I'm committed right now to whoever comes out first. I'm committed right now. Whoever makes it to Yerushalayim first. So there, as Rashi explains, that's why you can make a very cogent argument that if it's Tola Bedas Acherim, there we would say Breira. If it's Tola Bedas Atzmo, there we won't say Breira. So Abaye says, I'm just not following the conversation where we're jumping from Tola Bedas Acherim to Tola Bedas Atzmo to... No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Tola b'das atzma to tola b'das acherim to tola b'das acherim. Like Abai says, we're jumping around, and it doesn't seem right that we should be jumping around.
But it's just seeming like there's a tola b'das acherim. You don't even have to say b'raya. He didn't know exactly which one, but why do you have to say b'raya?
Now, I don't want to complicate this more than it's already complicated. But do you know what tola b'das acherim is very much like? We're doing it now in the afternoon kolo. It's like asmachta.
Okay, so we
have asmachta is in the future, rera is right. In the past.
Well, they're
no.
Okay. We could spend the rest of today and then some more time on it. But basically, in fact, if you look at Rashi in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and it's easy because we're in Chaf Hei and Gittin, and it's Chaf Dal and Sanhedrin, so it's only one page off. But if you look at Rashi over there in Sanhedrin, which we're doing in the afternoon, so you'll see that the Lashon of Rashi is nearly identical to the Lashon of Rashi over here in terms of the way he's describing Tola B'das Acherim and the way that Rashi describes Asmachta. Okay. That's all I'm going
to
say on the topic. And obviously, there's a lot more to say. Anyway, let's go on. Isle Breira, I'm sorry. Tola B'das Atma, V'hadda Mosev V'lay, Tola B'das Acherim, Amar Rava, my Kusha. So Rava, now Abaye is really struggling to see how can we make comparisons. So Amar Rava, my Kusha. Rava says, I don't struggle. Meaning, I see Breira as one uniform idea. Dilma demandi esle Breira lo shna tola b'das asma v'lo shna tola b'das acherim. Esle Breira. Umandale esle Breira lo shna tola b'das asma v'lo shna tola b'das acherim. Lesle Breira. Rav says to Abaye, look, I appreciate your thought, I appreciate your sophistication, but I don't see it this way. When I see Breira, if you are a subscriber to Breira, you are categorically subscribed to Breira, and if you don't subscribe to Breira, you're not. So I'm living with Shashal Rav Avaha. And so now, what the Gemara is going to do for the rest of today's daf is the following. I'm going to show you Tanayim. Clearly who are vacillating on the issue of Breira and clearly are making a distinction between Tola B'das Acherim versus Tola B'das Atzmo. And so what the Gemara now is going to prove is that, Rava, I don't think you're right. I think there exists out there Tanayim who vacillate on this issue, like Abaye was arguing. V'ha Rav Yehuda. So now, candidate number one for this discussion is the Tana Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara now is going to show us that, according to Rav Yehuda, he vacillates on Breira, depending on whether or not it's Tola B'das Atzma versus Tola B'das Acherim. V'ha Rav Yehuda, the Tola B'das Atzma, Leslei Breira, Tola B'das Acherim, Islei Breira. So first of all, let's take a look at Rav Yehuda. Tola B'das Atzma, Leslei Breira. Now, if the determinant of the decision is you, Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira, and the Gemara says, and I'll show this to you based on a Braisa. This Braisa, look how many times this Braisa comes up in Shas. This Braisa, if you've been around in Daf Yomi, you know this Braisa. It comes up twice in Gittin, once in Chulin, Baba Kama, this is not my Bekias. I'm just looking at the side of the Gemara. Sukkah, Demai, Yuma, Erevin, Me'ila. Okay, wow. Braisa comes up very often, and the Braisa discusses the following scenario. Okay. You bought wine. You bought it from the Kusi, which in of itself is an interesting phenomena. Usually, the wine produced from the manufacturer from the Kusi is not kosher. So Rashi realizes that. Rashi sidesteps that issue. Rashi writes, if you take a look at the Rashi, in the second to last Rashi, third to last Rashi on the page, Kodem Gzeira. Rashi says this was before the Gzeira. Ve'en lo kli lahafrit shumos ha'maisos behem. And Rashi says, and right now you're stuck with the following situation. So in terms of kashrus, it's kosher. Right, the wine is kosher. But here's the problem. The problem is you're living in Eretz Yisrael and you have to separate Trumas and Maestros. The problem now is that in order to separate Trumas and Maestros from wine, there is a pragmatic issue. You need another container. This is not food. You can't just simply put it aside. In other words, liquid, you need another container. And Rashi says right now that right now you don't have another container. So here's the dilemma. I want to separate Trumas and Maestros from the wine so I could drink the wine, because until I take off Trumas and Maestros, the wine is Tevel, and Achilas Tevel, in this case, Shtias Tevel is an Isna Daraisa. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to separate Trumas and Maestros, but I don't have another kli. What do I do? Back to the Gemara. Okay, Omer Shnei Lugim Shani Asi Lafish Harein Shuma. So let's assume that there's 100 lugin of wine, and so 2 lugin that I will take off. Obviously, I can't do it right now. I don't have another container. So 2 is going to be Truma, and Asara Maaser Rishon, and then 10 of it is Maaser Rishon. Interesting discussion in Tosas over here. The number over here that was just offered was 10. Now we know that Maaser Rishon is 10%. So really, if you want to be a little bit more precise, it shouldn't be 10, it should be 9.8. But Tosos, yeah, we're just rounding up. Now, but Tosos has it's just an interesting discussion that maybe 10 is actually meant to be 10. What about the fact that it's 10% of the remainder? Tosos says maybe not. Maybe it's 10% of the original. Why? Why should it be 10% of the original? Because we know that the halach is regarding Truma, that even though the Chachamim gave the shear of 2% for Truma, but really a smallest amount can constitute Truma, and the rest would be Chayv and Meiser. Anyway, it's a small point, and it's really not relevant to the general discussion of the Gemara, but I find it interesting. Anyway, Harein Truma Asara Maaser Rishon Tisha Maaser Sheni. So 10 of it is going to be Maaser Rishon. The next 9 are going to be Maaser Sheni, right? Maaser Sheni is in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. Now Umechal. Now Rashi over here says Mechal means that with the Maaser Sheni, so there you don't have to rely on the future. Meaning there, you could take care of the Maaser Sheni right away. Because we know that Maaser Sheni is transferable. So you transfer the Kedusha, the Maaser Sheni, onto coins. That's how Rashi explains this line of Meichel. Tosus disagrees with Rashi, but anyway, just we're staying with Rashi for the remainder of this discussion. So, Umeichel v'shosem miyad divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, oh, and now you can drink. Meaning, even though now you've done nothing, you're going to take off 2 for Truma. You're going to take off 10 for Maaser Rishon. And you're going to take off 9 for Maaser Sheni. Or according to Rashi, you're Mechal of the 9. So Maaser Sheni, was rectified. And when we say you're going to, what does that mean, you're going to? It means that you will drink. How's my math for today? Let's assume that the Maaser Sheni has been taken care of. You're going to drink 88 lugan of wine. And the last 12... it's going to be your Truma and Maaser. Either the requirement of Hafrasha, you did the Hafrasha, based on the principle of Breira. The amount that you left at the end, Hovra Hadavar Lamafreya, is what you separated from the very beginning. So if you're a subscriber to Breira, all this works. And then, Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbi Yossi, V'Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Osrin, and Rabbi Shimon say you can't do that. And presumably they can't do that because they don't subscribe to Breira. Okay, now that's Tola Bedas Atzmo. That's you being the determinant. And he doesn't subscribe to Breira. And meanwhile, Tola Bedas Acherim Yisle Breira did not. Now as far as Tola Bedas Acherim, we're going to see right now that he does subscribe to Breira, meaning Rabbi Yehuda. Mahi Ba'osan Hayamim. What is she over the course of those days? Who she? What she are we talking about? This is later on. The a man gives his wife to a get. He's very sick, and he says, "Ekitech me'achshav." This is a get from this point going forward. Im meisi michol isdeh. He's very sick and very sad, and he wants to give a get to his wife, and he does not want his wife to be an almana. What's the benefit of being a divorcee versus being an almana? Obviously, we know the downside, and that she can't marry a kohen. But the upside is that she won't have the zika for yibum, meaning she and he know that his brother is not the greatest candidate in the world for yibum, and nevertheless she'll be stuck. So he'll give her a divorce. If I die from this illness, so hareze get imes me oso choli my kol yemei choli. Now, if and when he dies from the illness, the get will be in fact be a get. But what's going to be her status over the course of from when the get was issued until the get was actually delivered? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar hareke eshes ish lechol devareha. So during the time period of the issuance of the get and his death from the illness, she's a married woman. But what do you see? The Gemara spells it out. Luchim Mayis Habegita. But what you see, however, is that after he dies, the get's going to be a valid get. Now, the get can't take effect post-mortem. This is, like, not rule number one in gittin, but it's high up there in the hierarchy of rules of gittin, ain't get lachemisa. You can't issue a get after you die. So clearly, the only way the get worked is going back to retroactive to the time of issuance. So you see that this is now based on the principle of Breira. Now, this is Tola Bedas. You didn't decide when you're going to die. This was up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Tola Bedas Acherim. And so Rav Yehuda subscribes to Breira. So I have now our first candidate, a Tana of the likes of Rav Yehuda, who makes a distinction between Tola Bedas Atzma and Tola Bedas Acherim. So now this is really a challenge against Rava. Abaye said, I think there's a difference between the two. Rava says, I don't think there's a difference. And now I've shown you our first Tana of this morning who thinks there's a difference. So Amalei Ramashar Shal Rava, Rabbi Shimon, the Tola Bedas Atzma Leitzei Breira, Tola Bedas Acherim Leitzei Breira. And before the Gemara even answers, the Gemara says, pile on. We're going to now go to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is another Tana who also subscribes to a distinction between Tola Bedas Atzma and Tola Bedas Acherim. Tola Bedas Atzma Leitzei Breira Hadam Aron. Now, in terms of Rabbi Shimon, Tola Bedas Atzma, so that was the brisa of the wine purchased from the Kusi. Where there, Rabbi Shimon was in agreement with Rabbi Yehuda that you can't do it. You can't do it because he isn't subscribed to Breira. That's Tola Bedas Atzma. Now, what about a case of Tola Bedas Acherim de Tanya? So the, Tola Bedas Acherim Yisrael Breira de Tanya will enter Breisa. Hareini bo alech amanashi yirtze abba. So, a man says to a woman, I'd like to be Mekadosh you. Okay, through Be'ila. The Gemara in Kedushin, we're going to see in the beginning of Kedushin. It's not recommended. I'm being nice in the way I'm describing the Gemara Kedushin, but anyway, he's going to be Mekadosh with Bia, Amenasha Eretz Abba, but on the based on the condition that your father's in approval. Alpha, I know all your fathers out there, right? You're thinking, all right? Alpha Pishalo Ratsa Av Mekudeshes. Now, if the father Alpha Pish Lo Ratsa Av Mekudeshes. So according to the Tanakam of that Mishnah, they're Mekudesh. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Kiyanam Rabbi Shimon, Ratzav Mekudeshes, or Ratzav in the Mekudeshes. And so this is now going to be built on the principle of Breira. And this is certainly Tola Bedas Acherim, and it's a subscription to Breira. So I have now not one, but two Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and now Rabbi Shimon, who both subscribe to a distinction. Tola Bedas Acherim, they subscribe to Breira. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in the case of the man issuing a get to his wife and he's dying. And if he dies from the illness, the get will be a valid get based on Breira. Rabbi Shimon, we see it in the case where a man's Mekadosh a woman based on the approval of the father, which we're only going to be learning about in the future, but once we learn about it, Hovra Adavra L'Mafreya. So they both subscribe to Breira in cases of Tola Bedas Acherim. But meanwhile, both of them, in the case of the wine purchased from the Kusi, do not subscribe to Breira. So how does that work? Meaning, according to you, Rava, you think there's no difference. But meanwhile, I'm telling you, there's a difference. So Amar Lei, so Rava's response is, we're on the top of Chavav and Aleph, so Bein L'Rav Yehuda, Bein L'Rav Yishim, Lo Shantol B'das Atzmav, Lo Shantol B'das Achreim Yisle Breira. So Rava will say in his defense, no, I think they always subscribe to Breira. And V'hasam K'diktani Taima. Now, what about the case of the wine? That's not a Breira issue. They say that you can't do it, not because of Breira, but for a totally different concern. Yomru, lo, l'Rav Meir, yeta moda, shemi yivake hanod, v'nim, se shos etzval mamafreya. It's a gzeira de Rabbanan. Principally, it works. Because principally, we agree with you. We subscribe to Breira as well. But what kind of risk are you taking? You're drinking wine, saving the last 12 lugin as truma and meister rishon, but meanwhile, if it breaks, what's going to come out? The truma and meister were not taken off. You drank tevel. Drinking of tevel is an issa daraisa, misa bidei shamayim. Like, don't do it. And not only don't do it, but gzeira. It's a rabbinic decree that you shouldn't do that. So Arm Lahem Lechishi Yavaka. And his response is, yeah, you know when I'm going to worry about that? When it breaks, I'll worry about it. Meaning, meaning he doesn't feel like Zera is necessary. So Rava's defense is a very simple defense. The case of the wine is not predicated on Brera, it's predicated on the issue of whether or not Xera should or should not be made. Okay, let's quickly recap. This morning, a discussion of people sharing the same name. Can you, if you're a note holder and others have the same name as you do, can your holding of the note be good evidence that you're the owner of the note? The answer was yes. What about the other way? Not as clear. If you're not the note holder, if you're the borrower. And then the Gemara goes into a discussion of which cases in our Mishnah have a reich haget. Four-way machlokas. Rav, Shmuel, Reb Elazar, Rav, Shmuel, Ze'iri, and Rav Yochanan. Okay. In terms of whether or not it has a reich haget. Then the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan says, only the last one has a reich haget. Why? Even the last one doesn't have a reich haget. Why? Because Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Brera at all. And then that prompted the Gemara for the rest of today's daf, Chafhei, to talk about Brera. Interesting, machlokes between Rav and Abaye. Are we going to make a distinction in Brera between Tol B'das Atzma and Tol B'das Acherim? Abaye says, yes, we're going to make a distinction. Rav says, no, we're not going to make a distinction. Whoever subscribes to it does so. Whoever doesn't subscribe to it does not do so. And then we challenge that based on the Shita Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but Rav defended himself from those two Shitas.